We're gonna look at a little thing of, I guess, what's available. Some of the things, not everyone. Well, you can turn to Third John. But before we get to that, I wanted to quote Isaiah 26:3. Who knows what that says? Thy word have I hid in mine heart, right? No, wait, no. Thou will keep him. I got the two thys and thous messed up. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Because why? Right. And then the other one, the other big one that before I got in the Word never knew existed was John 10:10. What does that one say?
The thief comes not but for to steal and kill and destroy, and I am come that he might have life and he might have
life. More abundantly. And then this one here, which we're going to read, 3 John 2. It says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. And, I mean, just those three verses alone is everything we could ever need or want in this life that God freely gave us. And I call these three verses the Pepto-Bismol for believers. Because any kind of anxiety or fear you have, I mean, those three verses you can go to and, you know, you take heed to them, it'll just disappear the way God would have it to be. But I looked in the, for 3 John 2, the working translation is a beautiful translation of it. It says, Beloved, I pray that you may be successful and healthy in all matters, even as your soul is successful. And we can have successful souls by going to God's Word, feeding it with His Word and His everyday life dealings. He's the one that knows. He invented life. He knows everything we need to know about it. And He's freely given us everything we need. So it's good to go to His Word. And you can turn to Philippians chapter 4. And these are all scriptures we all know. But are very dear to us because they've worked for us. And they will continue to work for us if we keep going to them and believe in God. But it says in Philippians 4, verse 19, But my God shall supply some of your need according to His riches. No. He's going to supply all of your need according to His riches. And I know I always say this, but I love that it says His riches and not our riches, because it wouldn't be a fun time. And then that supply is the play, full to the brim, crammed up. So it's a great thing to know that every time we have a need, our God is going to supply it for us as we go to Him. If you go to Deuteronomy, there's a few verses I want to read that I think will bless you. Chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28. And I'm going to start in verse 1. And it says Come on, Chris, hurry up. And it shall come to pass if thou shalt what? Hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe. There's another thing. To hearken diligently and to observe and to do all His commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt, again, hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And it goes on, Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shalt be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall thy basket, and thy blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. And that has something to do with dough. So all you, what do you call that? Sourdough people. Bless your sourdough. Anyway, he covers it all. It's just this. I know it's Old Testament, it's for our learning, but it's so great to see what God did for them and more that he'll do for us, his kids. So blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. And I just picture them scattering. Any kind of sin consciousness, sickness, anything. They just, when we go to God, they scatter. Verse 8, the Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways. And that's what he wants us to do, to walk in these great promises that he's given us. And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, and in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, not our good treasure, the heaven, the rain unto the land in this season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. We are fully supplied by God in anything we can ever want or ever imagine in this life. And then verse 13. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. So those are some of the things that are still available to us, but we have even more, because we can speak in tongues, we can, you know, talk directly to God and tell him of our heart's desires. You can go to Jeremiah 17. Ooh. Verse 5 through 8, to be exact. It says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt, and not inhabit it. So that's what you don't want to do. You don't want to put your trust in man, because man's going to fail you every time. But verse 7 says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. So when we go to God instead of the man or the world, we're always going to have to give, we're always going to be taken care of fully, not the way the world gives and takes, and, you know, when it rips the carpet from under you at the last minute. But we have a great God that always wants to take care of us. And where it says careful, that means anxious or afraid too. So we don't have to be careful in those times when we go to God. We can be just so blessed and so taken care, knowing that we're so taken care of by him. If you'd like to turn to Isaiah, which is the next book right next door, 58. Fit pretty close. Isaiah 58:11. here's another thing. And the Lord shall guide thee once in a while.
No.
Continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and shall be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. There's nothing worse than when you're trying to keep a good lawn going, and those waters fail, or a garden, or whatever else. But as we stay close to God, those waters are never going to fail us, and we're always going to be taken care of. Psalm 103.
What number is it?
103. Who said that anyway? Oh, you. It sounded like it was coming from over there.
Ventriloquist.
Yeah. Psalm 103 and just verse 3. Well, we could read verses 1 through 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And remember, it's good that it says forget not and not to remember them, because it'd be hard to remember them. And that's pretty cool. All his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities and who healeth all thy diseases. We might as well read 4 too. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. That's a great God. That's a God who wants to take care of his people every second of every day. So also, if you go to 1 Peter 2, this is another great thing that God did for us. Verse 24. And verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Talking about our wonderful Savior. That we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So that's a biggie. Dead to sins, you know. Think about, I was raised Catholic, and I never knew that you were dead to sins. I always thought that you were just going to be, you know, have to pay for your sins your whole life. The good old Catholic guilt. But if this word is right, and we know it is, we don't have to do that. We are dead to sins. They're deceased, absent, gone, done. John 14. Regular John, not
irregular gospel.
Not irregular. John 14:27. This is another thing our brother did for us. It says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. And I love this too, because it says, not as the world giveth. The world, I guess they can have peaceful times, but it can be taken away or it can be gone in a heartbeat. But as we go to God, it's there. It's always there. It's never going to stop. Peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. And then I love this. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We don't have to be afraid, because we have the peace that passes understanding, which is, you know, there's no greater peace than that. And that word troubled means to be stirred up or agitated, which, you know, if you go to the world, you can get, that tends to be what happens, but never with God. You know, it says it right there. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In Colossians chapter 3, yeah, I guess you're going to guess, you know where we're going here. 15. Yeah. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful, grateful that God has given us that wonderful peace that passes all understanding. And that peace also means prosperity and rest. And that's something everybody can use in this world. Peace of God rule, and then that rule is like to be an umpire. Let that make the final decision in our lives, not the hectic or disturbances of the world. Let that peace be the final say. We might as well read 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So it's a good thing to give thanks to God too for all of these things. He likes to be thanked, you know. He's just a wonderful, wonderful God, a wonderful Father to us. How about Romans chapter 5? How about it? Romans 5, verse 1, here it is again. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have what?
Peace
with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So again, those wonderful things that our Lord did for us, you know, like Rube shared, beaten and all the other stuff, but more so being raised for us, we have that peace. And if you go to Romans 15, we can even have peace in the midst of all the troubles that are going on in this wonderful world of ours. We don't have to be afraid in the, what's it called? The galley of Hormuz or whatever? No. You don't have to be afraid of it. 15. Straight? What's it called? Straight?
Straight.
Yeah. No matter what's going on there, we can still be peaceful. Romans 15, verse 13 says, nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you. Am I in the right place?
No, you're not.
No, I'm not. I'm in 15. 15.
Yes, me too.
I'm in 13. Now, here it is. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy, which is a good thing, right? Joy is an inside job. It's something God gives us. And peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. We can abound in this, I think Perry prayed about it, about a hope. Right, we got that to live, look forward to. He's coming back for us. With all the, you know, things that go on, The main thing is we have that hope to look forward to, and that this is not going to go on forever. And that joy means cheerfulness and a calm delight. God's always pushing that calmness, peacefulness, delightfulness. And then again, in verse 13, it says, through the power of the Holy Ghost, that dunamis power, that wonderful power that only God can give. And we worship that God, which is cool. And then lastly here in Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 3, we'll start in verse 16. It says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So just these few things, again, is everything and anything we could ever need in this life. So what's available from God? A lot. And a lot that we haven't even tapped into yet. And we do know a lot of stuff. So there's more to come. So, okay?